In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. You may know the story firsthand of a family that left poverty, violence, instability in Mexico to come north of the border to find a better life for their children and for themselves, to have a place that is safe and prosperous and provide every opportunity to their children for a better life for them and their descendants. Coming to this country as you did or our parents did was fraught with all kinds of dangers, risks, and not the most hospitable welcome, especially if we came without the proper paperwork because of necessity. But coming here is oftentimes the dream of our parents or ourselves, that we would be able to make a place, a home, so that we can go back to Mexico and bring our parents, bring our grandparents, bring our wife or our children, many of whom are being left behind because of the risk and danger to their life crossing the border. That's the dream. And not everyone is able to fulfill that dream. They live here decades separated from their loved ones, never able to establish themselves enough or to bring their family over safely. And there's a heartache and a loss at that separation. A parent dies and they can't go back to Mexico without not being able to return to the United States. A family member passes and they remain here mourning, thousands of miles away. In the gospel today, Jesus is leaving the apostles. And there's that fear, will we see you again? Like our loved ones in Mexico we left behind. And Jesus assures them, I am going to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may also be. Many of us have experienced and felt being abandoned. Maybe we felt abandoned because our parents left us back in Mexico or somewhere else to go and prepare a place for us. We felt abandoned because of divorce. We felt abandoned and alone because of addiction, alcoholism. Dad or mom is physically there, but emotionally they could not be more far away. Or we experienced abandonment because of the death of a parent, grandparent. And we have that trauma and that wound of being left alone, feeling alone. And we can often get very angry and bitter and live out of that wound for decades. Miserable, angry, resentful, full of hatred. Today, Jesus gives us a word of comfort. I am preparing a place for you in heaven, and I will come back for you, unlike maybe your parents were not able to do, or your grandparents, or your spouse. I will come back for you, and I will have a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be. Jesus is speaking directly into the wound of our experience of abandonment, into the wound and the anger that comes out of it, of feeling left alone, forgotten, unimportant. Maybe we felt abandoned simply because we chose to move for a better life, for a job, whatever it might be. And Jesus in today's gospel speaks a word of comfort and consolation. I am leaving. I understand that you're troubled, that you're afraid, and that you might be angry as time grows on and we're not together again. But trust me when I tell you, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that we can be together. In the meantime, he tells us, you must follow along the way. Now, in the first decades of Christianity, Christians were not called Christians. That happened about 100 years later in Antioch, when followers of Jesus were for the first time called Christians. For several decades after the resurrection of Christ, Christians were actually called Nazarenes, after Nazareth, or the followers of the way. That phrase, the way, is a reference to Christians. What Jesus is telling us in today's gospel is that until we're back together again, you must follow the way. You must live as Christians so that where I am, you will also be. Because Christ is coming back. But whether or not we can go with him depends on whether or not we live as followers of the way, whether or not we choose to live as Christians. Oftentimes that begins by acknowledging our hurt, the traumas we felt of being abandoned, the anger that has come out of that trauma of being abandoned, and the ways that we have acted out in that anger to push others away and to hurt one generation after another. By giving to Jesus that wound and trauma of abandonment and accepting his promise and his word spoken to that wound, that I will be with you always, even until the end of time. When we allow Jesus into our hearts, praying from that wound of abandonment, with our hearts, with tears, with vulnerability, with honesty with ourselves and him, and confessing the sins that have come out of that trauma that we have freely chosen to do, and holding on to the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, and hurting others and ourselves because of it, then we can begin truly this journey of the way. We can begin truly living as Christians. St. Peter acknowledges this and reminds us that we are living stones, part of the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ, that in God's eyes, in spite of our sin and our brokenness and our traumas, we are chosen and precious in his sight. These are God's words, who cannot lie and who cannot be deceived. Peter goes on to tell us, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. He's not referring to the ministerial priesthood to which I belong. He's referring to the baptismal priesthood. Every time I baptize a child, after we pour water and the Holy Spirit upon their heads, we anoint the crown of their head with sacred chrism. We anoint them as priest, prophet, and king. Priest, in that insofar as you offer prayers to the Father on behalf of yourselves and others, you're living out your baptismal priesthood. Christians pray. Do we? Prophet. We are all called to be prophets in the world, not preaching the gospel in the mass, but preaching the gospel in the streets, both in action and in words, bearing witness to Christ as our healer, redeemer, savior, Lord, Messiah, and God, friend. And ultimately, as kings or queens, using our gifts, our talents, our treasures, our time for the building up of his kingdom, supporting your parish, helping the poor, reaching out to those in need, using whatever gifts God has given you and time that you have in service to others. You are a chosen race. You, the lay faithful, are the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, to announce the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness of our traumas and wounds into his wonderful light. If only we will let him in. If only we will allow his light to shine in our hearts. It's hard to be vulnerable because we're broken. And from sin, a lot of division happens. And in that division, we're scandalized and we naturally put up walls to protect ourselves from being hurt more. And we push people away even more. There's nothing new about that. We hear that happening in the Acts of the Apostles in the first reading today. There was active, clear racism between the Hellenists, those who were Greek and converted to Christianity, with the Hebrews who converted to Christianity. There was an active, sincere discrimination whereby the men of the community and those in charge of sharing the wealth made sure that the widows who were Jewish in origin had all they need and ignored the widows who used to be Greek. It's not unlike maybe some of you, born as Chicanos, you come to a parish and you're rejected by the American community born and raised in Denver. You're not one of them. You're not welcome here. And the resources that the parish has are not for you. Maybe you experience that as a Mexican and you come to Mass and the Mass is not in your language. The priests do not speak your language and nothing is available to accommodate the time you need to learn English. And so you're set apart. You're cut out, and the sharing and distribution of resources and prayer and wealth and ministry is not afforded to you the same as those who are born and raised here or who consider themselves American and not Chicano or Mexican. What you've experienced is nothing new, sadly, in the church. And these divisions come out of the woundedness that we will not bring to Jesus to heal, to acknowledge our traumas of abandonment or whatever it may be, and invite Jesus into those dark areas of our heart to let him speak his truth that I will be with you always, that I am coming back for you, and that I am going to take you to a place I prepared for you so that where I am, you may also be. If we don't hear these words, if we don't accept them as truth and welcome them into the most sensitive, wounded parts of our hearts, we will continue to live out of the division that marked even the earliest Christian community recounted in Acts of the Apostles chapter 6. That's why we cry out today as we acknowledge our traumas and our wounds with the psalmist. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Will you trust him? Will you allow him to heal you? Will you allow him to accompany you in those areas where you are most wounded and hurt? Allow the tears to flow, to wash away the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the hatred, the misery, and to live free, to let go so that he can embrace you in this Eucharist, to let go so that he can forgive you. Lord, let your mercy be on us through confession, so that we can place our trust in him and no longer live out of the division that marks our traumas and our wounds that we've put up barriers to and won't even allow Christ in, so that we can be who we are, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart, chosen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me." And so let us walk as people of the way, wounded but healing, hurting but forgiving, because we've been forgiven, so that where Jesus is, we too may one day be.